We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All right, here we are, Friday, May 22nd, Memorial Day weekend. It's 8:46, 14 before 9. Stephen Wagaspak joins us, President and CEO of LABI, Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. How you doing today, man?
I'm well. We're going to talk about, I want to give you a chance to talk about SB 359 and SB 440 in the Senate. That has to do with local parishes or local parishes, parishes being able to sue oil companies as opposed to the suits having to run through the state. And we'll talk about your take on that in the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. Then next hour, we'll talk to Scott Walker, Jefferson Parish Councilman at Large. But first, let me talk to you about coronavirus and COVID-19 phase one. Are businesses taking the opportunity for the most part to open up? Can they afford to under phase one? And those that are open, are people coming out and spending money?
Yeah, I think there's a good news, bad news, lesson to learn here. I think the good news is that, you know, customers are showing up. People are going out. They're taking safe precautions. They're enjoying local restaurants and local retailers, but they're doing it safely. And so the good news is that the market's there for the taking. The people are ready to go and be customers. So that's the good news of this that we're glad to see. The bad news is you've got a number of, especially in the restaurant space, you know, what they're telling us is like this 25% is just not sustainable. They can't make the numbers work. They have more room on their space to have social distancing, but the arbitrary 25% is just blowing a hole in their operating budget to make the numbers work. And so that 25% needs to be revisited sooner rather than later. The governor has June 5th as the date where he hopes to take a look at whether that can be raised. I worry that's too long, and we need to kind of give restaurants especially more freedom and flexibility as soon as we can so they can take advantage of that market that's ready to be taken and they can do it in a safe way.
Where did the 25% come from? Is that a national thing, or what are other states doing?
It's a mix across the country. There's no booklet or anything for it. I think the governor just decided to use that as an entry point. But other states are doing different ways. That's definitely not a model that is guiding that. I think that's just some of their own analysis. So that tells me that they can revisit it at any time. And the good news is the last week of data, I mean, it really shows that, you know, the numbers continue to still look good. The market's there. Restaurants are taking safe precautions. And so there's no reason that two arbitrary numbers, one June 5th, the other 25%, both of them can be switched on any given moment. And so we're encouraging the governor to do that quickly.
All right, I'm going to take a break early here for traffic. Then when we come back, we'll spend some time on the two bills, SB 359 and then SB 440. What the Louisiana Association of Business and Industries take on those bills is, and why I believe you support them. Do you not, Stephen, the organization?
Yeah, and I'd love to talk through that.
All right, okay. Because I want to give everybody a chance to express their opinion, their sides of it. You know what I'm saying, as opposed to
absolutely
the vaccine thing, which I don't think there are two sides to that. 8:49 traffic now, WWL. 8:54, Tommy Tucker, WWL. I am getting numerous texts here from different numbers, so I presume they're reliable, saying that traffic is stopped in both directions, I-10 and Slidell at Oak Harbor. Any info? We are working to get that information for you now, and we will pass it along as soon as we do. We're talking to Stephen Wagasback, our friend, president, CEO of LABI, Louisiana Association of Business and Industry. And I wanted to give him a chance and the association a chance to talk about SB 359. Scott Walker is going to be on later on with us. He's already been on and talk about the bill. And in essence, I guess let me let you characterize it, because I know Scott's going to characterize it differently. What would this bill do?
Yeah, sure. If I could say that the biggest question that is confronting policymakers is who can sue on behalf of state permits, and where should any money go that comes from a lawsuit? Every parish has two types of permits roughly in the coastal zone, local permits and state permits. And so the bill 359 was intended to say, listen, if you're suing on local permits, that's valid for local parishes to sue. If you're suing on behalf of state permits, then the proper entity to sue is the state. I mean, it's no different than if the parish tried to sue WWL for violation of an FCC permit. You know, it doesn't make sense for someone who doesn't know how to oversee the permit to sue on behalf of it. So that's one sense. And then the other question is, go ahead, please.
Okay. Well, it'd be different in terms of standing, but let me just jump in with this real quick. I-10 East closed at Oak Harbor due to downed power lines. Congestion's approaching approximately 2 miles. They're advising everybody to use an alternate route, which I guess would be Highway 90, right? Because the Highway 11 bridge is not working, or I guess you could go to the causeway if you got to go from the North Shore to the South Shore. Anyway, I-10 East closed at Oak Harbor due to downed power lines, closed in both directions between Oak Harbor and the Twin Spans as of now. All right, back to Stephen Wagasback with LABI about the SB 359. But this has been going on this way for a while now, has it not? Have parishes not been suing? And that's why they've spent so much money on legal fees and why Jefferson Parish is perched on the precipice of $100 million?
Yeah, no, a couple parishes have filed lawsuit on behalf of state permits, and there's a very serious question as to whether that's an appropriate lawsuit. Now, if the state wanted to file such a lawsuit on behalf of permits that they oversee and implement and monitor, then that's a more appropriate discussion. But it's when the parishes do it, that's where the biggest concern has come from, because it's not only that the parishes have decided to sue on behalf of state permits, but they've also decided to work on formulas that go around the coastal master plan to distribute the money. So that's what I think the big concern is. Who can enforce state permits? We think it should be the state. And then if dollars are going to be result from a lawsuit, it should be used for the way the coastal master plan envisions it, to go all towards coastal restoration, not carved up for different other little entities and projects.
So SB 440, which is the bill about the money being, dedicated to coastal erosion, or at least...
Yeah, the concept of that bill, I don't know if it'll get through the process or not, to be honest with you, but the concept of that bill is to ensure that any proceeds that come from these types of suits go towards the coastal master plan and the coastal restoration. I don't know if that bill is going to be able to get through the process, but I think it just reinforces that those are the two biggest differences. The state permit, who has the authority? We think it's the state. And where should any dollars go? We think it should go to the coastal master plan, not with some other formula that's kind of carved up and designed behind, you know, closed doors, because the coastal master plan is a very public, bipartisan, transparent process that's been going on for over a decade and a half now. We think that's the appropriate way to distribute any dollars and not have a deviation around it on any lawsuit.
But part of this would also be if, for example, here in Plaquemines, you know, I'm just pulling that out of the air because that's where I am. If Plaquemines Parish is suing for damage that due to a permit violation the parish suffered, well, in essence, this would be taking that out of their hands in terms of any compensation that was received. Even though the parish was done into Plaquemines, it could be spread out to different areas, right, if that SB 440 passes?
Well, all the coastal zone parishes are participants and have provide input to the coastal master plan. That's been the approach the state has taken for years and years to make sure that as you're moving water and protection systems, it's all done in a concerted multi-parish effort. That's the only way we're going to save the coast responsibly.
Gotcha. Thank you. I'm glad you took the time, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about all that. Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
We'll talk to you again. All right, you too, sir. Stephen Wagasback, President and CEO of LABI. Scott Walker is going to join us next hour to give us the other side of that. Meg Farris had an excellent piece on Channel 4 yesterday afternoon about wearing masks and why it's important. We'll hear from her, and we'll also talk about coronavirus and education and what that likely is to look like, what it, you know, going forward.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.